This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. It is hard today to comprehend the scope of People's Corner Business District in the early and mid-20th century. Anchored by the Paramount Building at the top of Gilbert Avenue Hill, coming out of the downtown, literally hundreds of small, mostly family-owned, businesses radiated north and south on Gilbert, east and west on McMillan. Most disappeared in the decades after World War II, with suburban flight and the reorganization of retail by corporations into malls and big box stores. But the dream of revitalizing Walnut Hills not only as a place to live, but also a place to shop, never died. Now, after years of hard work, drive through today and you can see businesses springing back to life. But success is not easy, or is it guaranteed? To talk about the challenges and the progress of revitalizing business in People's Corner, we are joined by the CFO and Interim Executive Director of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation, Elizabeth Winters-Waite, the Director of Commercial Development for the Greater Cincinnati Redevelopment Authority, sometimes referred to as the Port Authority in the old days, Robert Sanders, and the founder of Esoteric Brewing, Brian Jackson. The new brewery will open in the former Paramount and the signature People's Corner building, and the owner of The Cure, a top-end sneaker on McMillan Street. That business is already open, and Keith Tabron and yes, is with us today as well. If you want to join the conversation, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Welcome, everybody. And exciting stuff going on. I have reason to be in Walnut Hills regularly and really watching the brewery. Mm-hmm. And the construction going on there, because it's in that signature building. I mean, it's obviously things are changing, right?
Correct. Yeah. So we're really excited to be essentially the cornerstone of the community. So that building has been, you know, kind of down for about two decades, and being able to revitalize that and bring it back to life has been, you know,
and bringing it back as a brewery where lots of people will come, and it'll become a social place as well as a place to buy beer, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And we even want to have it to be a community center, essentially, where we'll be open during the day so people can come and get coffee. But we'll have a tap room of roughly 250 people, 10,000 square foot, right in the corner in the heart of Walnut Hills.
And when do you think you're going to be open?
We're hoping April.
Okay. All right. I'm seeing the construction. So, Elizabeth, what?
My friends call me Betty.
Yes. Okay. We've just met. So, Betty, you know, this progress that is occurring right now in Walnut Hills, and especially in the People's Corner area, because Walnut Hills is big.
It's a mile from Victory Parkway to May Street, and it's 2 miles from Martin Luther King down to Elsinore, the crossroads of our community.
Yeah, really big area. So this hasn't just happened overnight. This is
feels
a result.
That way,
I know, but it's long
but
process,
those of us
right?
That have been working on this since the early 2000s. It has been a long process. Kind of started when we first started talking about changing the street McMillan and Taft from two-way to one-way back in 2009.
From one way to two way, right?
From one way to two way.
Right.
Did I say the other?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You knew what I meant.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
But you know what? People are creatures of habit, and they still have a tendency to go west on Taft in the morning and east on McMillan in the afternoon.
Well, you know, they are creatures of habit. So one of these is that you've obviously, over the time that you were talking about, at least from 2000, developed a strategy and developed a plan here in order to attract funding, which is what we're going to get to next.
In 2016, we did the Walnut Hills Reinvestment Plan, which encompassed the entire neighborhood and provided us with a blueprint for how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Robert, you're on the funding side of this equation, also the consulting side, making sure you get some ideas in there, I'm sure. What does the Greater Cincinnati Redevelopment Authority like about the plan that exists and what's happening in this area right now? Why is this attractive to you?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, what makes it the most attractive for us is you've got, you know, a neighborhood that actually has a plan. Because a lot of times we'll go into different neighborhoods just across the city. And, you know, the problem is, you know, if there's no plan, it's going to be tough to attract any sort of capital because there's nothing for the capital to fund. And so we've really worked closely with, you know, the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Authority to understand what their plan is and basically help them to leverage, you know, our resources as much as possible so that that plan could actually, you know, be executed.
So what are you investing in at this point?
So we've got a couple of different ways that we're involved. We actually manage the Hamilton County Land Bank. And so what we've done historically in Walnut Hills is we initially, you know, used the land bank to acquire commercial real estate in that corridor. Some of those properties actually had to be stabilized. And so we leverage our capacity to stabilize those properties.
So a land bank, what do you mean by that?
Yes.
Lots of people wouldn't know it.
Oh, yeah, sure. So the Hamilton County Land Bank, we basically manage all of the you know, properties in Hamilton County. And so the land bank is a resource that, you know, if there's delinquent taxes or if there's blighted properties, you know, essentially the best way to think about it is, you know, the land bank assists the port in bringing blighted properties back to productive use. And so in the example of Walnut Hills, for instance, you know, there was a property on McMillan that was built in 1895 in which, you know, we acquired it, stabilized it, and it was one of the properties that was used as part of the Trevarian Flats project that the model group did for market rate housing, which was the initial catalyst in that neighborhood.
So Trevarian Flats is key to that. It's also key to Keith.
Yes.
Keith, you own The Cure, and you're in the Trevarian Flats, right?
Yes, I'm in the Trevarian Flats building. We opened up January 23rd of this year. And it's
now, one of the things I want to point out, though, is as I understand it, you had an established business, an online business.
Yes, we were home-based.
And you're looking for a brick-and-mortar place.
Yes, yes.
Very innovative.
Yeah, you know, so we basically graduated out of the trunk, a home-based business, to a storefront.
The internet sounds more sophisticated.
Yeah, more sophisticated, you know. But, yeah, we basically graduated to the storefront, and that kind of gave me the grounds to kind of do exactly what I wanted to do.
And what do you do?
The Cure is a one-stop shop for, you know, limited edition sneakers, clothing, and accessories. So like Supreme, Bape, all of the high-priced Jordans that you hear about, all of the crazy just stuff in that streetwear, you know, niche of life. We specialize in getting that stuff. And basically, you know, what we do is we will acquire it at the retail price, the box price, from the stores like, you know, the Foot Lockers, the Champs and stuff. And it's the limited edition releases. And we specialize in getting a lot of them. And then we, you know, basically inflate the price at that resale, mm-hmm. you know, price. So we are kind of like just a resale shop. And yeah.
So how's that going? I mean, you've been there a little bit over 6 months. How's it going?
So in 6 months, we've already done $400,000 in sales. So we are on pace to do $1 million in sales this year. And our second location actually is opening in September in Columbus. So it's been just a dream come true. I couldn't ask for a better situation.
So what drew you... When you were thinking about a place to be, what drew you to Walnut Hills?
Walnut Hills is instead of going to because we're a destination location. So instead of going to like the prime locations such as, you know, OTR where all of the pricing is so inflated, people will come to us wherever we are. We could be in the middle of a cornfield, but the people that are in this niche of...
So it's not so much people passing through. Mm-hmm. It is people know about the product.
The product.
And they're seeking you out.
Yes, they seek us out. And
I don't know about your product. Yeah. What a surprise. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we just, you know, like we're the destination location, and I like what Walnut Hills had going. I like the fact of, you know, the pricing, it was reasonable as a business owner, and the fact that the neighborhood was on the come up, you know.
And did you approach Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation? Did they reach out to you? How did you get the connection?
It was kind of, I lived in the neighborhood because I'm not from Cincinnati. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay.
So when I first moved to Cincinnati 3 years ago, when I started The Cure, because before I was just, you know, Keith Tabron selling shoes. But once I moved to Cincinnati, I filed the LLC and became The Cure. And I lived in the neighborhood. And, you know, I just kind of saw the development. It was getting better and better every day. And then I saw a location that I thought, you know, would be a great fit. And I just reached out.
Now, Robert, the shop that you've got, the space you got, that Keith has, is in one of your buildings. Were you managing, were you involved in actually recruiting or backing the creation of the business?
So you asked earlier about, you know, what our investment was. You know, I talked about the land bank piece of it, but additionally, what we were able to do is we actually have what's called the Dream Loan Fund, which stands for Driving Real Estate to Accelerate Micro Enterprise. And what that is essentially designed to do is to allow developers to, you know, cover the gap funding with respect to tenant improvements on projects similar to this. And so essentially, historically, and candidly even today, you know, it's tough for retailers to obtain financing for tenant improvements because that's the least amount of collateral value that a bank would give. And so you either have to have a wealthy uncle or you have to scramble to get the cash yourself. And so those funds actually allowed the developer to not only, you know, do tenant finishes, but actually do it to a high quality standard to attract, you know, Keith. So when Keith drives through, he's like, wait a minute, I want to be in that space because, you know, it's a high quality tenant fit out. So.
Okay. And Brian, what about you? What drew you? You're an experienced brewer. You had worked with Mad Trees,
right? I still work there.
You still work there. Okay. So what drew you to this particular location, to Walnut Hills, to People's Corner, and this signature location that we were talking about before?
Right. So for us, it was a little bit more of chance. We were looking for a space, my business partner Marvin and I. And I'm a mortar graduate, if you've heard of mortar. And, you know, they keep in connection with their alumni. And I got a call one day asking.
Just real quick, what is mortar?
Mortar, they are pretty much a business accelerator here in Cincinnati. And they've been very integral to, you know, our success. So.
And they're located next door to The Cure.
Yep. And they're located. Okay.
They're actually one of the tenants in the Treveran.
It's
commercial
space. Getting very incestuous here, but go ahead.
So yeah, they gave me a call one day asking if I had thought about Walnut Hills, and for brewing, a lot of it has to do with functionality. You know, we were looking at places in Blue Ash or any kind of business district because normally you want a warehouse for that space, something with concrete floors, very low cost per square footage, high ceilings, and that sort of thing, and then. When they asked us if we were looking at Walnut Hills, our now landlord model group was actually looking for a brewery in that space. So, you know, we entertained the idea, and the more we looked at it, it had a lot of the things that we were looking for beyond functionality. So close to downtown, close to highways for distribution, but we also wanted to have a direct impact in the community. So knowing that Walnut Hills was going through a revitalization period, it only made sense for us to, you know, locate in an area where we can be part of that community and be part of the process.
Okay,
and
we have to take
the iconic structure of Walnut Hills probably didn't hurt matters either.
Oh, I'm sure it didn't. And the iconic structure of that building.
Yes.
I mean, that is just everybody knows that building with the turret. I mean, that is just signature. Betty, one of the projects that's not right in the corner itself, but is very close by, is the old Kroger store, which closed down, a year and a half ago.
It closed in March of 2017.
Okay. So about that. And there's been an announcement that the goal is to reopen that as a neighborhood grocery.
So, a part of it.
Okay. So tell me about that project.
So we have two LOIs that we're currently negotiating.
LOI.
A letter of intent.
Okay.
For two other parties that would basically master lease it, and then a section of it, probably 2,000 to 3,000 square feet, would be set aside for the Peebles Corner Grocery, which would be a perishables only, small community grocery store.
So this is a 33,000 square feet altogether.
Yes.
So you're saying 3,000 for
right.
the perishables
only, basically to serve the apartment buildings that surround the Kroger to make it easier for the seniors that live in those apartments that don't usually have transportation
okay.
to be able to get food. And we were recently awarded a Community Thrives grant from USA Today for $100,000. And last Friday, we got another $100,000 grant. But I can't tell you from whom yet because we haven't signed the agreement. But as soon as...
And will that go to the grocery itself
yes.
or to the entire project?
It'll go to the grocery itself.
So the idea here is that this relatively large building, 33,000 square feet, you're putting other things in there that will make it viable to have this grocery in part of it.
And yes, and both of the options that we are considering will provide significant community benefit, not just a place for someone to work, but also other benefits. And I can't disclose too much about them because okay. we haven't signed anything
yet.
No,
that's fine. I understand. I don't want to get in the middle of that. But, you know, those are real challenging because the grocery business by its nature is very competitive,
right.
small margins,
right.
and having a one-off store is really kind of tricky.
We understand that, but we also will be selling it at cost, or close to cost. So we're a nonprofit. We don't plan on making this a part of our profit structure. It's not going to be a profit center. So we're just going to do what we can to get food closer to our residents to ease their burden of food access.
Robert, what your work in Walnut Hills, how does that relate to the work, pretty significant work you're doing in Evanston and I think in Bond Hill and Roselawn, but I'm really aware of the work in Evanston,
mm-hmm.
which is right next door. How does this all sort of fit together for your organization?
Sure. So if you think about, excuse me, if you think about Walnut Hills, you know, we initially came into Walnut Hills and did some initial acquisitions, but high level, we actually take a three-pronged approach in our neighborhood revitalization piece. So we have an industrial strategy, but then we also have commercial and residential. And so our initial investment in Walnut Hills actually included, you know, our REACH program and our HERC program, which is the affordability and market rate housing. And so, again, what we'll typically do is we'll go into a market where candidly, the private sector isn't there because they don't see, you know, the investment opportunity, the upside at the end of that investment. And so we'll go and try to create the market where there is no market. And so if you shift to, obviously you can see some of the results in Walnut Hills mm-hmm. and being that catalyst through our partnership with the RF.
I actually bought one of their houses.
So there you go. And so if you shift to Evanston, in which we did, you know, we started our REACH program and our HERC program. So we've done some market rate housing and affordable housing. If you go to if you remember St. Ledger Apartments, you know, it was a high crime area as communicated to us by the residents and CPD. You know, where we started at was just acquiring a bunch of properties in that corridor and revitalizing them. You know, we rehabbed some properties, did some properties ground up. And what we'll do is we'll start with, you know, one house in hopes and take some subsidy. And then, you know, as we do more houses, we'll, you know.
If I understand the Evanston situation correctly, there had been a long time since any house had sold on the regular retail market there.
Absolutely.
And you've turned that around and created a market where people are investing now in Evanston.
That's exactly it. I mean, there hadn't been a market sale in 9 years in Evanston before we got to that neighborhood. And so we're really proud of the fact that, you know, we were able to create somewhat of a market in that neighborhood. And now outside developers are applying for properties and coming in and looking to invest in that community.
And is that same thing happening in Walnut Hills?
It's the most certainly
beyond your house.
Yeah. I mean, Reach did 10 homes on my street. Mm-hmm. And the first ones sold, actually the first six all sold during their open house. Mm-hmm. So, and since then, we've had just across the street, a private developer purchased six lots and is building townhomes on them at market rate. And plus we have another big project that is going to be breaking ground in the next couple weeks right up the street.
So Brian and Keith, how does all of this fit together? Now, for you, Brian, you're really retail right there. I mean, you're having more people in the neighborhood, having more foot traffic, more chances of people walking in and wanting to buy a beer.
Correct.
Keith, you're a destination business, a little bit different. But what's your sense of being part, for both of you, and let's start with Brian, of being part of this community that is really revitalizing, not just as a business place, but as a total community?
I think it's amazing. One thing Marvin and I have been doing ever since we, you know, decided on this building is we've been going to the city council meetings, and it's great to engage with the people of the community, understand some of their, you know, issues and other things that they have going on in the community so that we can, you know, be a part of it. We don't want to be just another face on the street where people are just, you know, kind of looking at us like, why are you moving into our area? We want to have that direct, you know, connection with the community. How it all connects in with like the CDF, for instance, they've also been able to help us get off the ground because, as Robert mentioned, unless you have a rich uncle, it's very hard to find the appropriate amount of investment. And for our project, it's a very, you know, expansive project. Before we even move in, Model Group and Walnut Hills Redevelopment has put a lot of money into just, you know, redoing that building. So, you know, we have to come in with our share and, you know, we've had to reach out to different approaches for as far as, you know, being able to do what we're trying to do. And part of that, when we say community, is that we're trying to open up a crowdfunding here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, once we get approval from the government, and we're actually going to be selling shares to anybody who, as little as $100, that can actually own a piece of the company. So it's not a traditional crowdfunding platform. So we really want to be, you know, community owned. We want to be personally owned. We even want to be able to give shares to our employees. That's how much we want to, you know, spread the impact.
You know, and when are you going to buy a house in Walnut Hills?
Business first. Yeah.
Let's not put that right there in the, on air. Let's not twist his arm on air. But Keith, you and Brian, this is radio, not television, so people may not recognize or instantly know. Mm-hmm. Both of you are African American, so these are African American small businesses, which is even gives another twist to this, mm-hmm. and you know. That is a real part of this story, too, which as you talk to other people, are you telling them about Walnut Hills and that this is a possible place to invest?
Yes. I love everything that Walnut Hills has going on. I like the direction that it's going. I like the brands that are coming to the neighborhood. It's going to be a lot of foot traffic. I'm dubbing it the baby OTR. Because it's really being put on the map, like, and I just want to do everything that I can as far as my business to just continue to have a good face and continue to push, you know, basically, the message of Walnut Hills, you know, and make it the next big thing in the city.
And Betty, one of the things that, if I'm correct, there's a mural that is being done that is going to sort of focus on the history of African American. It is complete.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's at the corner of Lincoln and Gilbert, and it represents. We did some historical research, and got
always good
advertisements from businesses that used to be in that block at Lincoln and Gilbert, and they are wheat pasted up onto the wall. It's a temporary mural. It's not meant to be there forever because we plan to develop that. Those buildings that are there,
okay.
and put real bona fide businesses in there that can create new historical advertisements.
Well, I want to thank everybody here came today. Sounds like some really good things happening in Walnut Hills, and encourage people who are in the market for custom sneakers or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I'm too old for that. And or a glass of beer next April, and to visit your stores and keep an eye on the entire neighborhood. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.